this tree, and these women, this woman came up to the tree, and this snake started talking to her and said to her, if you want to be wise, if you want to be like God, and if you want to make decisions for yourself, all you have to do is just eat this. And when she said, look, I can't eat that. God said, don't eat it, don't touch it. But she said, look, if you want to be like God, you'll do this. And Michael, she took the apple and she ate it. Her husband was right there with her. She turned to him and said, here, you eat it. And he ate it. That's what I'm going to be talking to him about this morning. So as you talk to the kids, we're going to be talking about that.
Amen.
Bless you, brother.
Bless y'all this morning.
And the Lord called Adam in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. Excuse me. And the Lord called Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? The man said, the woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you've done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Then you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. One of the most horrible stories that's ever been written in the Bible. It really is. Because that story has affected each and every one of us. And when we begin to think about that story, it's really kind of laying the foundation for us as we are building on. We want firm foundation. We really do. Do y'all remember what we talked about last week? Anybody? Good answer. Adam and Eve. All right, thank you. Let me give you just a little bit of a catch up here in just a second. Because today we're going to be talking that God judged Adam and he cursed the earth because of it. But God promises something very big. And this is what you need to hear, Robin. God promised the deliverer. Isn't that neat? God promised the deliverer. So from last week, why did Satan want to destroy Adam and Eve? That's it. He hates God, he hates man, and he hates you, Mimi. Satan hates you. And he's going to try to kill you. That's what he's going to do. Why did Satan disguise himself when he spoke to Eve? Yeah, partly. Didn't know who he was. He wanted to lead in a rebellion. And he knew that he couldn't lead her to do a rebellion against God if she knew who he was and what he was trying to do. So she disguised himself. Do you know what? Disguises come in many different flavors. Watch this. What color is this right here? It's purple. It's purple. When you get down here and you look at that little piece right there, That blows my mind. What color is this? It's green. It's wild. Colors can really kind of mess your mind up. And so thinking that's what Satan disguised himself by contradicting what God had to say about the results of eating the forbidden fruit. What was Satan implying? That's it. God's lying. God's a liar. Whoa! You wouldn't come out and say God's a liar, but he colored it. What did Satan say would happen if man ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Yeah, you would become like God. You wouldn't have to ask what's right and wrong. You'd just make up, you know, for yourself. You don't need God. Is Satan still doing that today? Yeah, you don't need God to run a country, do you? You don't need God to run your finances, do you? You don't need God to... You can do it. You're smart. You're excited. You're intelligent. You don't need God. Satan's still telling the same lie today. What were the consequences for not believing God's word? Separation, death spiritually, ultimately death physically. Death was coming. And then in the end, death eternally. So you know what you have to, when you begin to build on these foundations, you got to look at this stuff and you got to consider the cost. You can say, well, what is this really all about? What is God doing? What is God saying? But today, I want you to know God offers what? Hope. You see, with all of this stuff that Satan just kicked us in the teeth, who's a liar, who's a murderer, who's a cheat, who's a killer, who hates me. With all of this, we still need to know that God is going to offer hope for us today. So what did he do? In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, so you can follow it with the text, and I'll throw it on the screen here, but that doesn't mean I want you to don't want you to follow from the word. And they heard a sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the eve, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. Can you imagine that? Can you just see Adam and Eve wearing their fig leaves and hiding from God? Quote, hiding from God. People are still trying to hide from God today. And you know what? God is still coming along. It's God is still asking. So God called out to Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? Do you think God knew where Adam was? That's a dumb question. Yeah, he did know where he was, didn't he? But he wanted to give him a chance, voluntarily, to say, I messed up. And that's what God wants to do for us today. God wants to voluntarily give us the opportunity to say, hey, look, I messed up. I know where you are. I know what you've done. I know what you thought. I know where you've been. I know how you really blew it. But God still calls out to you. Because when he does that, he's showing that how much he loves you. God loved Adam. Even though Adam had tried to rebel and separate and want to be as God, he still loved Adam. So think about this. God still loves Adam and Eve. What can we do? Adam, this is what I want you to do. I want you to acknowledge me. Acknowledge what you've done and agree that you messed up. Hey, how many people are willing to do that this morning? How many, you know what, acknowledging and repentance, that's the first leg of repentance, is when we acknowledge and agree with God. That's it. You acknowledge and agree with God. Say, look, God, you know, on that test, I cheated. First of all, I acknowledge that I cheated and I agree with God. I did what was wrong. That's the first thing. Because many people don't repent because they're not willing to acknowledge and agree with God. Adam, where are you? Acknowledge and agree what you've done. God is still calling out today, and God is speaking to us. He speaks through the Word. He speaks through people. He speaks through songs. He speaks through messages. He speaks through the skies, folks. God can speak big. Can't God speak big time in the sunrises, in the sunset, Michelle? How did you see it this week? Yeah. It's beautiful. What do we know about your son?
Ah.
Yeah. You see, God spoke to Cooper. He's knee high to a toad frog. And you know what? God said, this is God. You can know God. He's calling out today. In fact, the scripture says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals the knowledge. There's no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. God speaks. All people, everywhere. What about in the darkest places of Africa? God speaks and He's heard. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Well, God questioned Adam, okay? He's not letting that guy off the hook. Ladies, I know y'all like that. So He's not letting Adam off the hook. Then the Lord called out to Adam, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid. I was naked. I hid myself." Who told you were naked? He had already given him the opportunity to voluntarily admit it. Who told you? What have you done? God already knows the answer. Then why did He question Adam? And the answer is what, Troy? Exactly. So Adam would realize what he did and voluntarily come forward and said, "I messed up." What is God asking us to do today? Same thing. Fess up. Come forward. God, willingly. God is not today going to pick out a big stick and come after you and say, "If you don't get up out of that chair right now, I'm going to hit you upside the head." He might have it help on some, okay, all right. But anyhow, He's not going to do that. But He is going to call out to you. Now, does God have the right to do that? Okay, so does He have the authority? Are we accountable to Him? Is He the owner? All right, if you can answer those three questions correctly, then all of a sudden you realize that, you know, when He calls out, I need to respond to His authority. I need to respond because I am accountable to Him. I need to respond to Him because He is the rightful owner. He's the guy that created me. And because of that, Acts 17:25 says, "Nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all what three things?" Does the doctor give you life and breath? No. Does the politicians give you life and breath? No. Does your employer give you life and breath? No. Does your husband, wife give you life and breath? Mom and dad? No. Who gives it? God does it. God does it. He gives all. Life, breath, and all things. All things. Gift from God. So Adam turns around. And what does Adam do like a red-blooded man would do? Flamed it on Eve. We see that happen, didn't we, Scott? That's what he did. He said, "The woman whom you gave me..." By the way, God, it's your fault. "The woman you gave me..." I never would have done this if the woman you gave me... Isn't it amazing how people don't want to fess up, as Brother Bill would say? Isn't it amazing how people don't want to accept the responsibility? Isn't it amazing how people don't want to say, "You know, I was wrong"? What do they want to do? They want to do the blame game. They want to blame somebody. Somebody else did it. It's not really my fault. She gave me the tree and I ate it. She did it. She did it. It's not my fault. By the way, when was it your fault last time that you sinned? Last time you sinned, was it your fault or somebody else's? Okay, all right, here's a trivia question. Devil made me do it. Who said that? Okay, y'all passed the test. Flip Wilson said, "Devil made me do it." You know what? Flip Wilson lied. Devil didn't make you do it. You did it because you wanted to do it. We played the blame game. We tried to avoid personal responsibility. We tell God, God, you... Can we deceive God? Think about this. God, it's not really my fault. It's God knows. When are we going to reach that point in which we're going to come up and we're just going to say, okay, God, you said it. That settles it, whether I believe it or not. God, this is it. Wow, that's what he's looking for. So then what did God do after he hit Eve and Adam and Eve? And all of a sudden he said to the snake, God cursed the snake. Thank you, God, for that one. You know, God cursed the snake. I hate snakes too. Anyhow, so the Lord God said to the serpent, we don't know that it was a snake. He said it was a serpent. I just think snakes are bad. Okay, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle in Genesis 3:14, and more than any beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Boy, he had it, didn't he? He had it. What would happen today? Poor little snake. Can't you hear the animal rights people now? I mean, at the end of the movies, don't we see at the end of the movies, no animal was hurt in this movie. I mean, they'd come out and they'd start arguing for the snake. God, you had no right to make that snake crawl on its belly. I can hear it. And today, people are more concerned about eagles than they are about children. Believe that? Yeah. Break an eagle egg and go to jail. Kill a baby. Go free. That's it. Today people say, God, what right do you have? Do you feel sorry for the serpent? But God promised to deliver. It's good news, Frank. We need some good news along the way, don't we? And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, in Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Hey, we discovered in our small group this morning that we have a lot of religious terms that we ain't got a clue what they mean. And you get around in a small group and you ask, do you know what this means? And no. Do you know what this story means? No. And we read a lot of stuff that we just don't know. And God says, here, I want you to find out. So go to a small group. You're going to learn some stuff in Daring Faith. You're going to learn it. Come on Sunday morning. We learn stuff. Even Danny learns things. You know, we learn stuff. If you want to get stirred up, ask Arnie. He'll stir it up. So there's always something that's happening. But I will put enmity. You know what enmity means? I'm going to put hatred. I'm going to put something between the man, this woman, and by the way, it says between you and between your seed and her seed. It's talking about a child coming. It's talking about a virgin birth. It's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will put something between your seed and her seed, between Satan, Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. He, talking about Satan, no, Jesus, he shall bruise your head, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. Jesus is going to bruise the head of Satan, and you shall bruise his heel. Has anybody ever had a foot problem? Did it hurt? In fact, I could show somebody an illustration right now. Landon, come here, buddy. Now I'm about to hurt you, okay? So don't hit me back when I hurt you, okay? I won't hurt you too bad. Is that all right? All right, are you ready for this now? Not really, but he's all right there, isn't he? He's all right. You know what? You hurt a little bit.
A little bit.
Where you hurt at?
My foot.
I thought your ear was hurting. No, I thought it was your hand hurting. And what's hurting?
My foot.
179 pounds proved my point. Jesus was hurt. Thank you, Landon. Jesus was hurt. Your foot hurt, you feel like you're hurting all over your body. Jesus was hurt. When he went to the cross, he was hurt. But that's not the last of the story. Okay? I got to ask you some real important questions right now. Who's in control right now? Who's in control right now where we are? Help me again. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Whose mind the gods of this age has blinded? Who did not believe? Let the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's in the image of God, should shine on them. Who is the God of this age? Who is the God of this world? Who's going to be judged? Been judged? Satan. But who's in charge right now? God's in charge, but who's the God of this world? You see the struggle right there? Because we think, man, we got it. God is all. Listen, nobody lines up with God, okay? He's above all. But when Satan got booted out of heaven, where did he go? And where did he set up his power and authority? And who allowed him to do that? God did. So now we see Satan, ruler, God of this world. You want to know why you're having so much trouble, so much pain? You got a force to deal with. And if you don't think you got a force to deal with, you better rethink that thing. Because Satan's after you, and Satan wants to do one thing to you. He wants to murder you. He wants to lie to you. He wants to use you. He wants to kill you. He wants to do whatever he can, and he's got a system in place. And what does that system do? That system says, oh, you just need to tolerate other religions. Oh, you just need to investigate. Oh, you just need to add a little bit. Listen, God does not want you to tolerate, add in nothing to the Word. Nothing. That's the reason why it's so important. When you come to church, don't you waste one second. Every single moment you are here, you need to be in contact with God. Because when you walk out these doors, you're walking out in Satan's world. You can come here and you can waste it. You can waste time. But when you waste time, when you really needed it, when you get out there, we got to know who we're fighting against. Ephesians 2:2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Did you hear that? You want to know why there was some shootings down in Southside? You want to know why there were some people killed? It's because of this verse right here. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. They can have any kind of label that they want to, but when they're labeled the sons of disobedience, they're lining up with Satan's team. You with me? You understand what I'm trying to say right here? The prince of the power of this air, can you see it? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places, according to Ephesians. The battle is on, folks. So we got to say, who's control now? Who's in control of this age? Satan? But who can defeat God? Nobody. Got it? Yeah, good. You've got to understand this. Who you're fighting against. We are not citizens of this world. We're citizens of the new world, but we're traveling through this one. What did God promise? This is huge. Laura, what did God promise? God promised what? A deliverer. Thank you, Scott. God promised a deliverer. You see the struggle that we're having, who's in control now? We see that nobody can defeat God, but we also must recognize that God promised a deliverer. Because of that, just a little help there. It's a deliverer. Now, what is a deliverer? God promised you, Troy. You got it? Does God keep His promise? What do you know about God? Okay, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and called His name what? And what does Emmanuel mean? You got it. God with us. Luke 1:27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. God promised a deliverer. Satan's going down, folks. And the head is known as the place of authority. You can crush a person's foot and they can live. But you crush a person's head, he's going to die. Satan's authority is broken. Let me say it again. Satan's authority is broken. It was smashed at the cross. Satan's going down. So when you walk out here and you say, I can't deal with it anymore, get that picture in your mind. Satan is going down. We have two illustrations in John chapter 10, verse 24, and in 1 Samuel 17:51, it talks about that when Joshua, his men fought a battle, told him to come near, said, put your foot on their head, on their throat, signing they're now in authority. When David threw that little rock and hit Goliath in the head and he went down, what did David do? David went over there and stood on his head and took out his sword and he cut his head off. He was in charge. He was in authority. Satan's going down, folks. So what do we know about God? I mean, really, what do you know about God? When you walk out of here right now, what can you say? I know this about God. No doubt about it. We know He's eternal. We know He's all-powerful. We know God knows everything. We know that God is everywhere. We know that God is loving and kind. But we also know that God is holy. He's righteous. He punishes rebels. And we know He punishes those who disobey His commandment. How do we know that? What happened to Adam and Eve? Kicked out of the garden. They disobeyed. We know what's going on. Story time. Okay. Y'all like story time? All right, here we go. It's story time. Suppose that a man dressed in filthy clothes, reeking of alcohol, unexpectedly came to your door asking for help. You invited him and allowed him to take a shower and provided him with clean clothes and gave him a good meal. But as he left your home, you saw him steal an antique heirloom from the hallway table. Suppose that the next day he came back asking for help, even though he didn't deserve our kindness this time and actually deserved to be punished for stealing the heirloom, you again allowed him to come in, take a shower, and cook him another meal. Would you do it? What's the meaning behind the story? When he came the first time, he hadn't done anything to deserve kindness. When he returned, he had done something for which he deserved to be punished. When you helped him initially, it was an act of love and kindness. But when you met his needs in spite of him having stolen from you, then it was grace. And when you didn't call the police to have him charged with stealing, it became mercy. Mercy. What had God done in the life of Adam and Eve when He created? When God should have destroyed Adam and Eve, what did He do? He showed mercy. Sent them out of the garden and gave them hope of the deliverer. Well, God is God of mercy. And so on your sheet right now, you can write down, this is your life. On your sheet right now, what's it going to be for you? You got it. This is your life. On the one, God will give you a certificate of grace. Grace hereby gives sinners what we don't deserve. That's grace. Scott, what do you deserve? You deserve death. But grace is when God gives you something you don't deserve, right? And so we look at mercy, give you a certificate of mercy. God hereby does not give sinners what we do deserve. Gives us what we don't deserve. Joe, if you got what you deserve, buddy, let me tell you a little secret. You'd be burning in hell right now if you got what you deserved. But you received grace. God gave you what you didn't deserve. So that's grace and that's mercy. God said to Eve would suffer because of sin, and ladies, you know this more than any. I will greatly multiply, in Genesis 3:16, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception and pain. You shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband. And love this, Donna. And he shall rule over you. Yeah. God said that was a result of sin. That's not what God had intended at the beginning. Consequences of sin, He greatly multiplied sorrow. He greatly multiplied the sorrow in conception. Women now will bring forth children in the pain of childbirth. Desire which shall be for her husband, and he shall rule over him. That's the result, the consequences of sin. God said of Adam, he would suffer because of sin. He said, cursed be the ground for your sake in 3:17-19. He said, cursed be the ground for your sake in the toil. You shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles, and it shall come for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of the face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So what are the consequences? You got it. The ground is cursed. Today, why are you having earthquakes? Why are you having fires? Why are you having tsunamis? Why are you having diseases? Why do you have Ebola? Why? It is a result of this. It's a result of right now. So the toil to eat, thorns and thistles, sweat of the brow, ultimately, you're going back to dust. You came out of dust. Dust you shall return. That's the consequences of what? You know it better than anybody. Fires, tsunamis, droughts, hurricanes, tornadoes. All of this was not supposed to be. But when man said, I'll do it my way, that's what he got. Adam and Eve are the ancestors of all people. Genesis 3:20, Adam called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living. Scott, did you know that you are kin to Joe? And did you know that Joe is kin to Pharaoh? Yeah. And did you know that Joe is also kin to Hitler? He's one bad dude, isn't he? And y'all are kin. Think about that. Acts 17:26, and he made from man one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. Who made everybody one blood? God did. Did you know that the people in Spain are related to the people in America? Exactly. God did. God did. And he made from one blood every nation that dwell on the earth. One blood, every nation. Isn't that neat? Now, sometimes when we try to look upon people and we try to look down on people or look up to people, God said, don't. When you cut them, they bleed red blood, just like you. We're not superior people. There's not but one race, and that's the human race. And that's what He teaches us in the Bible. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Every man and woman marked sinner because of one man. One man. What does sinful man produce? Sinful men. Think about that. Sinful man produces sinful men. Adam would die. All of Adam's deceivements are going to what? They're going to die. They're going to die because of the curse. But what did God promise? Yeah. Isn't that good news? God has promised a deliverer, and He's got a plan. And His plan is perfect, and His plan is being worked out. So where are we today in our study? We're right there, that little red line up the top with Adam and Eve, going in God's plan. God's got a plan. And let me let you know a little secret. It's right on time. And let me let you a little secret. God's got it perfectly planned out. And in His perfect plan, He offers to you a deliverer. That's what He plays. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You today, we are thankful, Lord, that we do have a deliverer that's been promised and who came. And Father, I thank You that we're beginning to understand a little bit more why this world is in the shape that it's in. It's because it's listening to the wrong God. The God that lies, cheats, steals, and kills. Because when you listen to the Lord God, there's life, there's hope, there's health, there's happiness, there's a way through. And God, we love You. Our heart's desire is to live for You. So guide us in Your way as You teach us what's going on around us so that we might live, allow You to live through us. Thank You, Lord, for sending to us the deliverer. In Jesus' name, amen. When you think about the deliverer, deliver means what? Somebody's in trouble, and He does what? He goes, brings you out of trouble. That's what Jesus does. It's like a man who's out in the water. In fact, when we were down in Andalusia, when I was a kid, there was a man who was lame, who was a handicap, but he was out in this little boat. His wife told him, don't you get out there in that boat. Now, what does a guy do? He gets out there in the boat, and he turns over in the boat. And then my family, when I was down there, and I just remember this as a kid, and my family and I was out there, and all of a sudden we heard this guy yelling for help. Ran down there to the edge of the water. My dad stripped off his clothes, swam out there to where the guy was. He was holding onto the boat. The boat was turned upside down, little John boat. He was holding it upside down, and he needed a way in. And all I had was a fishing reel with a worm on it and a hook, and I threw it out there, and thinking I could take that little bitty line and bring them in. All I did was hook my daddy. And had to wait till they could go out and get a rope. And so they went up to the neighbor and got a rope, brought it down, threw it out, and they pulled the guy in. He hung on to the boat, and they pulled the guy in to the shore. He was delivered. He was saved. That's what Jesus does for us today. Many of us are trying to get there on a fishing line, and the only thing you're going to get is the hook. You've got to have the rope of Jesus Christ. He will deliver you if you allow it. So today, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus, hey, we're here for you. I'm going to be sitting right down front right here. A couple of deacons going to be scattered across the front here. Y'all grab somebody. If you need somebody to pray with you, grab them. Some of you may be delivered from something else that's wrestling and struggling with. The prayer altar is going to be open. And what we want you to do, we're going to ask you this morning, we're going to ask you just to stand. The song's going to be sung in a little different tempo. If you know it, sing along with it. If not, hum it. If you know somebody to pray for, pray for them. If you need to do business with God, I want you to do business with God this morning.
Just
let's stand together.
As I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. I believe, O Lamb of God. promise. I believe, oh Lamb of God, I come.
And he promised to send what? Deliver. Let's take that message out. Father, you've given us the message, and now you're telling us where to take it. Give us both the will, the ability, the power to do and carry this message. In Jesus' name, amen.